Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. For the last few weeks, we've been discussing what Judgment Day may look like. Gede Hansen is my guest on Wednesdays. He's with The Growing Place, and we're going to be discussing another parable. We started talking about this parable last Wednesday. It's the parable of the goats and sheep, also known as the judgment. And it's a way to alert us or remind some of us of what it might take to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And what I'm learning, and maybe you're learning too, is it might take a little bit more than we think. There might take some real work involved, some real work, and it has to come from the heart as well. And so it is, you know, when you know, it's not easy to get into the kingdom of God, based on what I've been reading for the last few weeks with Gede. Welcome, Gede.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
I sure appreciate it. There are three parables, and we don't want to recap too much, but one is the parable of the ten virgins, which to summarize in one or two sentences
is about our personal relationship with God.
That we have to keep it constantly fueled.
Exactly.
Like a gasoline tank.
Exactly.
You know, if you got to keep putting more gasoline in it to keep going.
Right.
Okay. The second one was the talents. What God's given you some gifts. What have you done with those gifts?
Right.
Have you just shoved them underneath the pillow and not done anything with them? Or are you using the gifts that God's given you to help advance
His kingdom. For His glory.
To glorify Him. And then the third one of the three, the parable of the sheep and goats, or known as the judgment, mm-hmm. is pretty harsh.
It's not
harsh, it's frightening.
It's pretty explicit.
It really
is explicit.
We're going to read it again. We're going to go back and forth,
good.
Verse by verse, and then kind of recap it today. This is found in Matthew 25,
beginning at verse 31.
I'll start.
Okay.
But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Now, just real quick, let's picture this. Let's make sure that He's giving us exactly what it's going to look like.
That's right.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. Let's imagine that. Okay.
Okay. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left.
Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I, God, was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in.
Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me."
Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?
And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you?
When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison and come to you?"
The king will answer and say to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of Mine, even the least of them, you did it to Me."
Okay. Well, then, this is the goat part. "Then He will also say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'
For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink.
I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me."
Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?"
Then He will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me."
These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
So, you know, it's interesting when I was reading that. It is very deliberate. It spells it out. You know, you could sum it up in a couple of sentences, but it seems like Scripture there takes its time.
Yes.
And repeats almost sounds like it repeats things.
Yes.
So that it can't be missed.
Yes.
That God is giving you explicit directions. It is so clear.
Yes.
There's no ambiguity here.
Yes.
The way, you know, I mean, the phrases, I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was, you know, when were you thirsty?
Yes.
When? And then he repeats it a third time. These things
yes.
are repeated 3-4 times. So it's the repetition of it makes it so clear that there's no ambiguity.
Exactly. And it's directed at Christians. And remember, the Son of Man is Jesus. So it's the incarnate God who's saying, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I came as a man among you, and I identify with all of you, and especially with the least of you, mm-hmm. the ones that you discard and reject, you know, the baby that's aborted, the homeless person that's forgotten, the starving millions throughout the world. Jesus is saying, they are me. And Mother Teresa got a hold of that, and it changed her life. It changed, I mean, she got a direct call from God to, and she would often say, I am not a social worker. What I'm doing to Jesus and for Jesus.
You know, I don't want to delve into something outside of the realm, but there's been, we got a break. We're going to continue, pick this thing up with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And what she had to say about Mother Teresa, I want to dovetail on that, about kind of some things that happened in our Chico community without getting too deeply involved. But we do things, but are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we doing what we think we're supposed to do? And I think that's where we were headed when we mentioned Mother Teresa. We'll be right back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're speaking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, and we wanted, before we talk to continue our discussion, The Growing Place is presenting Courageous Living DVD series. Last Saturday was Understanding Your Emotions with David Stoop. This Saturday, it's The Fear Knots of Your Heart. The Fear Knots of Your Heart. Real quickly, Gidi, what's that? Do you know what they do?
That has to do with fear and anxiety.
Okay. Okay. And the seminar is this Saturday, June 18th. Dr. Ken Nichols will be the featured speaker on DVD, and then there's a discussion afterwards. It's 10 o'clock to 11:30 Saturday mornings over at The Growing Place on East Avenue, 1074 East Avenue. Best thing to do, go to tgplace.com, tgplace.com, or give them a call at 588-0448. We were talking about the parable of the sheep and the goats, and
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa is where we were at. And we were asking, did Mother Teresa... Oh, gosh, where are we going with this? I know. Some people in our community here in Chico, and it's not just Chico, it could be anywhere, say that, you know, well, we're doing things with the community. You know, and I had a guest on my show who was saying, it's great that we're doing things and we want to help the poor. And, you know, we go to, you know, soup kitchens and we help out there. But there are atheists that do that. There are people of all faiths that do that, that go out and do good things for the community. Was Mother Teresa saying it's more than to just feed and clothe them with nourishment for the body, but are we required to do, it's more nourishing for the soul, or it's both, but Maybe there's, you could pick up on where I'm going here.
Sure, sure. I think that's a great question because Mother Teresa often said we're not social workers.
Uh-huh.
What we do for Jesus. And we are the body of Christ. We show the heart of God. And when we show it poorly, people get a wrong idea about who God is.
So in other words, it's not enough to just go to a prison and visit inmates and give them company and play Parcheesi with them, okay? I mean, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, so you're saying we need to share the kingdom with them.
Yeah, you know, sharing time with them is not enough. I'm not even sure God even, I don't want to say he doesn't care. Of course, I'm sure he likes Parcheesi as much as anybody else does. But, I mean, I think he wants you to do more than just spend time with the sick, to sing songs with them. That's not enough, is it?
Yeah, definitely God wants us to spread the kingdom. And we should be doing that, again, not as a performance thing,
mm-hmm.
not as an obedience thing, but out of the overflow of the love relationship we have with God,
mm-hmm.
He will show us and direct us exactly what He would like us to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just now I've gotten a couple of texts, and I know what they are, just as we're talking. And somebody's asking me to do them a favor. And it has implications in which I would be able to have the opportunity, and this is not to brag, but just I'm going to point out that I have the opportunity to do something where I could spread the word of God. The answer will be, of course, yes, I will help out in any way that I'm asked. That's not even enough. Or is there? Do all of us need not just to be there when the church asks, but to go out seeking opportunities to serve? Or is that
I
between?
I would say seek God. And let Him direct you, because no individual can be the whole body of Christ and do everything that needs mm-hmm. to be done. And if you try, you're going to burn out and be useless to God and to yourself and to your family. So we're all parts of the body. We need to find out directly from the Lord mm-hmm. how He is directing us.
We talk about this a lot. And so much of my, when I talk, has to do with personal experiences. I was doing a story for the news on a homeless issue. And I was so ashamed. I think I told your husband, it's Father Peter Hansen at St. Augustine Church. He forgave me. I said, there was this home. I was filming a homeless person, you know, from a distance, you know, and he came up and he was like, I wish you wouldn't film me. I said, I'm sorry, I won't identify who you are. And I promise I'll be very respectful. It's just from a distance. And I shot out of focus, but we have to do a story on this. And I remember feeling really crummy about it later. And thinking I should have gone there and given him something or said something, and I didn't, and it really bothered me a lot, and it was just because I hadn't thought of it. I was in a different realm of my life. I didn't have the common thread of Jesus throughout my life. Thinking about it as I was working, where I should have said, "Well, here's a few bucks," or you know, maybe said something, and I didn't. I didn't take advantage of that opportunity, and I know that God forgives me because I felt truly badly about it. But I guess what I'm trying to say is we have to be aware of opportunities in our life that we just sometimes forget about because we're busy with so many other things. We have to hope that God understands and forgives, I suppose.
Well, of course, we're all going to be imperfect in our walk.
Right.
But I do believe God looks at the intentions of the heart. Mm-hmm. And I feel for you, Jerry, because I've missed opportunities. We all have.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can learn from that
mm-hmm.
to be more God-directed.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have a birthday, or I may have already had a birthday by the time this airs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be 65 years old.
Oh, you don't look 65.
Praise God for that age. I don't want to go back 1 year, 1 month, or 1 day
uh-huh.
because I'm looking forward to heaven. Mm-hmm. I really, really am. And so I look at my meager life, my short lifespan, and I look at how great God is. And I just say, God, just use me however you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just do with me whatever you want. Whatever my own goals are in the end on this day isn't going to mean a thing mm-hmm. on the judgment day.
We're going to take a break and we'll finish up our chat with Gidi on this show right after this break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, we have on our show our final segment of this morning with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. And we've been discussing the last few weeks, the judgment. I do want to mention that Gidi Hansen does see clients. She's very good. If you'd like to talk to her about some problems that you or your family or have, or maybe you have some personal addictions, some personal demons you'd like to work on to make your life better, I suggest you give her a call at 588-0448, 588-0448 at The Growing Place, or go to tgplace.com. It struck me when we were talking about what we are supposed to do. Are we supposed to seek opportunities to serve the Lord, or do we wait for opportunities to serve the Lord? I imagine the answer might be both. But ultimately, it sounds like in some sense it comes down to the first parable of the 10 virgins where we're refueling. And all we have to do, and maybe this, we say it's hard. You know, because in the beginning of this last parable, I remember saying this is hard to get into the kingdom of heaven. Maybe, but maybe it's not as hard if we just say, if we start with the first parable, which is just pray to God and say, give me direction. I'm putting everything in your power. You tell me what to do. You tell me where to do it. You provide me the opportunities. If there's an opportunity, send it to me on my iPhone or somebody's reaching out for help. Whatever it is, find the opportunities for me to help you. And from that's kind of what I pray. And maybe that's taking the easy way out. In other words, I'm not going to go dig and look for opportunities. I'm just going to pray that God provides them for me, and then I'll act accordingly. Is that the wrong approach, or is there a different approach for everybody else?
There's a lot of different approaches that, you know, people can take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong with that approach, except I would also pray for discernment,
mm-hmm.
because not everything that comes your way is from God.
Yeah.
So you're going to need discernment on a case-by-case issue, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it'll lead to burnout if you accept everything.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you it will. You'll not be able to manage your own life after that.
Okay.
So being married to a pastor and also being, you know, active myself, I've learned that lesson the hard way. So I believe that what needs to happen is that the heart of God becomes incarnated in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And the direction, we're not praying to a God who is infinitely far from us.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not even sure our connection is clear or scratchy. We're praying to a God who is resident inside of us, whose temple we are. And we're telling him, I'm your glove. You are the hand that makes everything happen. Direct me.
Mm-hmm.
Show me from the inside, from my own impulses, from my own thoughts, from my own desires, what you want. And I often pray to the Lord, correct me now. Tell me the hard things now. I don't want to hear it on Judgment Day.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to hear it then. Put me through whatever I have to go through so that on that day I can hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
So on that day I can hear, come into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so, I mean, I already know this life that I live is not my own. And my goals won't mean anything if they don't match up with his. And I will agree with him on that day if he shows me how much of my life I wasted on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear that or see that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling him just, you know, and if I'm hard of hearing and I'm stubborn, just engineer the circumstances that I can't miss it.
Yeah. Wave a red flag. Do whatever you need to do. You know, warn, beep, beep, beep. This is where you're supposed to go. This is what you're supposed to do. You know, when I pray, I say, you know, I say, make it easy for me. Make it easy for me to know what you want me to do.
Yeah.
You know, and because we want to get to the last half of this. I know we have just a few seconds about those on the left. Depart from me, your cursed
ones.
Yeah,
I think we're going to have to save that for another show because that's a whole other issue. Because then the issue is, you know, is it really fair for people for God to go to hell? And if God is a God of love, then why is there even a hell? And
That's a tough one.
There's a lot going on with there. So if it's okay with
I'd like to save that.
But, you know, hopefully, God willing, none of us, including all of our listeners, will ever have to hear that directed at us from the Lord, depart from me.
Yeah, yeah.
God willing, none of us have to hear that. And I just want to say to everybody listening out there, it's not Judgment Day today. You can do something about this. If you have been convicted, or if you haven't even taken Jesus seriously, you may want to consider and pray to whatever God you know to be God and ask, what is the truth? And is there an afterlife? And is there a heaven and hell? And do I need to be prepared for that now?
I heard somebody once say, you know, they bring up the thief on the cross. Well, he got in at the last, just by the skin of his teeth. But he had some advantages, I guess, and then Jesus was right next to him, I guess. Not saying advantage, but he saw Jesus right there, and he was able to make that decision and make that conversion immediately.
I wouldn't want to gamble on the last minute.
I wouldn't either, because our last second could happen at any. It could happen the next 5 seconds, and we don't even know it.
Yeah, Jerry, we've had two parishioners. We've had three parishioners in 2 months die suddenly.
Really?
One was expected. Two were totally unexpected.
Uh-huh.
And that tells me, and you do all the car accidents. How many people getting into their car just to go across town would think these are my last moments on the earth?
Mm-hmm.
It can happen to any of us.
Right.
To anybody.
Yeah.
So we need to be prepared.
And then we could be facing, well, I don't want to get too far ahead, but we have a few seconds here. And we probably talk about this in future shows. I think some of the things we want to talk about. This is the end of the show right here. But are we going to? First of all, Gidi, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to want to talk about: are we actually going to see the face of God? Will we actually be confronting Him? Will we be talking with Him? Will we be pleading our case? What will we be saying? Will we even have an opportunity, or is it going to be decision made, in or out? I mean, it's a frightening thought. Very frightening thought. We'll continue our chat with Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place, next week. Same time, same place. So long.